going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Give me this award unless I make it the last. What up, everybody? It's 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Round one of the NFL draft is in the books. And if you go back to the end of the regular season, you know what we like to say, B? This is B. Mitchell Finley. His name's Brian Mitchell. He's got a beautiful pink polo shirt on this morning. If what we say about the draft when you're evaluating college players is rewind your brain to the end of the college season. And that's the moment you should evaluate players on, not all the stuff that happens in the 4 months in between. Well, if we operate under that, guys, and we go back to the end of the Commanders season, when, let's be real, they kind of got smoked in Philly in the NFC title game, and they got whooped on both sides of the lines of scrimmage. What did we say then? Yo, they got to build up this offensive line, protect Jaden, be able to run the ball. They've got to establish some level of dominance on this offensive line. Well, fast forward a couple months, and that's exactly what they've done. Last night, the draft pick of Josh Connerly, I think there is a lot to like about this young man. Start with just he's incredibly young. He's 21 years old, incredibly athletic. Whatever kind of advanced offensive line metrics you believe in, they're going to pop with Connerly. He said all the right things. We got to talk to him last night. Adam Peters made crystal clear that this was an organizational pick, top to bottom. They had him clearly the top player available on their draft board. I heard last night that there was real concern when the Niners took my guy Mykel Williams at 11, that the number two guy for San Fran right there was Connerly at 11. Mm-hmm. Like they were concerned throughout this process.
Yeah, Adam said he was concerned that I think also the Cardinals, he was concerned about them as far going to get him as well. But
Cardinals, the Rams, he was happy the Rams traded out.
If we really look at this thing and you really understand how teams are built, you don't have to wait till the NFC Championship game. You saw when one person got nicked up, how the production went down. And ultimately, when you get you a quarterback of Jaden's ilk, the next thing is to protect that damn asset. And I think you go do that. And he mentioned last night, we've been talking about, I talk about the Cowboys line from back in the past, talk about the Eagles line now. What are a lot of people doing? Get the best five people on the field. And they believe Connerly can play all five positions. So if you go outside right, you go right tackle with him, you give yourself a great chance to have a Coleman in the inside now, right? You know, you get Cosme back. You got you a hell of a nucleus of offensive line now.
Sure. I think if you're projecting, I think the only thing Peter said last night, to be crystal clear, he's like, LT's the LT. Laramie Tunsil's going to be our left tackle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can play the right tackle.
He's like a legit alpha you brought in that has done it at a really high level for a long time. And so I think it's pretty clear he's going to be your left tackle. To me, I think Connerly's your right tackle. The competition that was going to exist between Coleman and Wiley now probably exists to play right guard. Wiley's played all over. Allegretti's played all over.
Mm-hmm.
Biotis is going to be your center. And it allows Cosmi to work his way back at a reasonable, like, there's no urgency for Cosmi to get back. And then fast forward to Halloween and say your offensive line is Tunsil. Maybe it remains Allegretti. Maybe Coleman's able to push for that spot. Biotis, Cosmi, Connerly. Dude, at the end of the season, everybody wanted to protect Jaden. Now they've absolutely invested on their offensive line. And I think folks should be honestly really fired up about the pick. If you wanted something sexy there, if you're one of these people that says you always got to get more weapons, that's cool. But think about what this offense did last season with I think they've upgraded the weapons by bringing Debo in. And now you've got what should be a significantly better offensive line. I think it helps tremendously. I think it's the right way to build a team. And, dude, I think it's important, seriously, for teams, these scouts and front office people, director of college scout, like all these guys, they work years, months, mm-hmm. 20 hours a day. They drive. I remember years ago, Doug Williams had a quote about, like, man, all these dudes do is drive around and eat fast food cheeseburgers. Like, you got to reward them. The scouting life is hard. And they're believing in their scouts. When Peters last night talked about it was an across-the-building pick,
mm-hmm.
I completely believe him. Because you could feel the palpable excitement with dudes walking around. I know you were in there.
Yeah, Ace left. He was out of his office. I think he was outside on the phone when Cliff left him the note. And he said, draft the left tackle from Oregon. He also talked about they began to hone on this thing like a month and a half ago. They kind of felt if that guy could be there, they definitely wanted him. And as we stated yesterday prior to the draft, okay, they had put themselves in a position to where they can do what they wanted to do.
My mic fell off.
At that point, you know, they can go where they wanted to go. It wasn't a situation where they had to go here, there, or whatever. You know, we get a lot of fans who they get their mindset on a position. No, this man is building a football team. And the best way to build a team or offense, have good offensive line.
Right.
Best way to build a defense side, get a good defensive line.
Well, it's funny because everybody talks about Philly. You got to be able to compete with Philly. This is how you compete with Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, when you know that it's going to be.
When you're picking top 10 all the time, you get so accustomed to skill position. But you've heard me say it over and over again. You win with the big boys, the engine and the transmission. You know, as Doc and Fred Smoot say, the people that smell like bacon, that's who you win with. And when you're always getting your ass kicked, you're always picking, so you got to go with the sexy pick.
Right.
Right now, it's not about sexy no more. It's about being consistent, you know, being able to go out there and make sure things are going to happen in a consistent manner on a regular basis. And the big boys help you do that.
You know, we're going to open the phone lines up today. We're going to let everybody get a chance to talk. It's going to be interesting. I don't think, at least that I've seen, I know the people I've talked to, and then just in my own research, there's not a negative evaluation of Connerly. A player that, whether it is like the NFL media draft complex or actual scouts, like whoever you talk to, or just watch the tape.
This dude got good feet.
There's not a bad evaluation of him. And he's so young that I think he could, I think he can get bigger. Like, I think
6'5", 311.
I think he's going to add weight over the years here.
325, 330 is very, very quick.
Dude, and if you think about, so last night when the pick happened, I had to go outside to do a TV hit. And so when I came back in, some of the coaches had left the war room because the pick was done. They were going to use the bathroom, whatever. And I just happened to see Kingsbury in the hallway as I was walking into the auditorium. He was fired up.
Yeah.
He was kind of jumping in the air, fist bumping. Now, all the guys were, and they probably would have been for whoever they took. But this, to me, seems like a perfect fit for Kingsbury's offense. His 10-yard split, I believe, was the best of any tackle prospect at the combine. It what I care about for tackles is not how well they run the 40, but how well they run the 10, especially if I'm Kingsbury and I run so much action at the line of scrimmage, so much misdirection, and more with the league busting down on ineligible downfield. You need a guy that can stay at the line till the ball is released, and then you're going.
Go. Yeah.
That's what this dude could do.
The dude has, you know, we always talk about Trent Williams' feet and the way he moves.
Totally.
He ain't Trent, but he has that type of ability, you know, and when you see something like that, it says a lot. You know, I've always looked at the offensive linemen, you know, when you're watching them, everybody just see how big they are. Nah, you see, how can they move around? Can they be like a ballet person out there? Because I'm going to tell you, Jim Lachey was the best I've ever seen. Trent comes in, unbelievable. Those guys can be twinkle toes in a position where it's nothing but brute sport.
Sure.
I mean, brute strength going on. And that's the way Connolly works. You know, and they were looking at him at the 6'5", 311. Can he gain some weight? Yes. You know, I rolled in this thing. I was 5'10", 195 pounds. The first year I played at 203. That's 8 pounds on my frame.
Right.
6'5 frame. He could put 15 more pounds. I'm talking about from getting drafted to the first game, 8 pounds I gained. You think he can't gain 15 by then?
Right.
And this is the thing about it. Chad's going to make sure he gained it the right way.
Oh, dude.
It's not going to be gaining just blubber. It's going to be him gaining that with muscle and getting stronger. You know, so those things, this could be something good, man. I like what they're doing. They increased size on offense and the defensive line already.
He's 21.
Yeah.
He's going to add weight. Yeah. Anybody been 21? Now, you can add it the wrong way or the right way, but you're going to add weight. I have zero concerns about, like, if you look at his profile from NFL.com, like his combine profile, the one question was, like, needs to add strength. I think that's going to come. He's 21
Everybody
years old.
That comes out of college needs to add strength to come into the NFL.
Dude, last year at Oregon, you know how many games he's missed in the last 2 years at Oregon?
None.
Zero.
But see, Jay, it's like, and I use a lot of my stuff.
And Oregon is big boy football, too.
Oregon is big boy.
Like,
Oregon
Dan
is big
Lanning
boy football. And Oregon is, I don't care how big you are, they're normally in shape. I told you I walked through that airport, man. I never saw so many in shape people in my damn life. But I like to use my little stuff coming in because it gives you an idea of what can happen. In college, I squatted 615 pounds. I bench pressed 435. I power clean 385. You know what I had to do when I got to the league? Add more strength, which that was probably stronger than most damn people. But for what they expected me to do and wanted me to do in the way I played the game, I had to add more strength. So when they tell me, people, I'm baffled by saying when the guy goes to the next level, the NFL level, oh, he needs to add strength. What the hell do you think he needs to do?
Right.
He got to get better. He got to get stronger. Got to be more consistent because you're now playing with the best of the best. So everybody that comes out of college needs to add strength, believe me. When John and Deron came here with those tree trunk legs, did they not need to add strength? You got to do it.
I mean, people think like football is so different. When you get out of high school and go to college, you got to study more. When you get out of college and go to graduate, like every step is a new level.
You
got to
do a little
life.
More and get very, very consistent at it.
Right. So I'm with you there, B. I don't think there should be a ton of surprise. He's also so young. He played in the last 2 years. He started 28 games at University of Oregon. Big boy football. Of those 28 games, I'm guessing he played 26 of them at either 19 or 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't turn 21 until last November. Like, the dude is young. And then for the folks that want to point out the draft capital allocation at tackle, well, outside of quarterback, you can make the argument tackle is your most important position on the field. But regardless, yes, you traded away picks to get Tunsil. I'm very aware of that. But if you consider what they have brought in with Tunsil's contract, he's got 10 mil guaranteed this year. From what we know about Laramie historically, there's going to have to be some more guaranteed money figured out here. If I believe that, I'm confident the folks in Ashburn are aware of that, right? I think at 31 with Tunsil, you're probably looking at, You'd like 4 years here to validate the trade. In 4 years, say you get Tutsil for 4 years here playing left tackle. In 4 years here from now would not even be the first year of a Connerly contract extension because you have a fifth-year rookie option on that thing, and he'd be 25 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know what else is interesting just from a straight-up size perspective? They still list Tutsil 310, 315. So maybe that's a body type they like.
Here we go, though, Jay. When you're younger, you want to be weighing heavier. When you get older, you want that thing to look a little less.
Sure. Hey, who are you telling?
I know you got 345, but you know what? Put 325 on it.
Right.
When you're young, you know, you're 311. Hey, put 330.
There are questions, right? Like, I think it's fair to ask questions. I think a lot of, not all, I think most fans are really excited about the pick. I think it was a bit of a surprise because people were kind of conditioned to think, all right, it's going to be an edge rusher. All right, it's going to be a corner.
Because then, everybody felt.
But then you always have the population that's like, no matter what, weapon, receiver, running back.
What I love about Peters and this whole staff, this whole operation now, we all felt it was defense. And they came with offensive linemen. And you still, if you really are invested in this thing and you're waiting to see how they work things out, you're still happy about the move because the move makes the team better. Tunzel comes in, and you know I can forget about left tackle now. Now it allows you to get another guy on the field in Coleman. Now you go and you get Connerly, another guy on the field. You're getting athletic. You're getting younger, athletic, and you're getting better. You're also gaining depth on your football team. So that improved the whole – whenever the offensive line improved, guess what else improved? The actual production of the offense. Jaden now doesn't – like
– What makes Philly so good all these years?
We got
They got a lot of good pieces. Don't get me wrong.
We got Jaden. Jaden is magnificent, but he can't do it all by himself. And now if you are – if you could block one-on-one with your offensive lineman and then you get the other five people releasing out the backfield, you know who becomes even more dangerous? Number five. He becomes extra dangerous at that point. You know, and if you have to be concerned about him, then you leave with somebody else one-on-one. And I think when any receiver sees one-on-one, I don't care who you are, running back, tight end, or receiver, when you see one-on-one, you should be smiling from ear to ear.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot for us to discuss. Not getting an edge, people are concerned. I would wait for any
concern. Didn't they say from five to 70 are the same people?
Right.
You can still get an edge.
He talked about how the depth of edge rusher in this draft. I think all concerns should be delayed until Saturday night. Let's see exactly what happens. Also, what about a trade back option? He said there were options. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to play a lot of Adam Peters' audio. B and I were both there last night in the building. Got to kind of feel the reaction. Obviously, the Caps play tonight. I don't want to ignore something that is important real quick. Craig Lachlan just announced. We love Craig Lachlan, the Locker. Joby and the Locker are absolute legends in this town. Joby and the Locker are Caps hockey for so many people. Locker just announced, hey, Caps fans, unfortunately, I haven't been feeling 100%. My medical team has advised me to miss a few games. I'm so disappointed to step away from the booth again, but I can't wait to rejoin our Monumental Sports broadcast team very soon. Go Caps. Locker, as always.
We're praying for you, brother.
Your health is what's most important. We are thinking of you. I imagine Alan May's on a plane to Montreal as we speak. They're going to figure that out. Caps play tonight. We are going to talk to Carl Alsner coming up at 12:30. Prior to that, though, we're going heavy on the draft. You're going to hear what the NFL reacted to the Connerly pick, Adam Peters' reaction to the Connerly pick. Then we're going to turn our eyes to what they can do tonight at 61. We got to have a Shador, Jackson Dart, Giants conversation. We're just getting warmed up. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Hell, I guess it is Scotty's Vagarebel Friday, huh?
Hell yeah.
I'm in draft mode. I hadn't even realized what day it is.
I think I jumped into it right after 12 last night.
Did you?
I had to get a little sip.
I just, I'm not mad at him. I understand why. Like, every time you've been on the highway and you're like, why don't they do the construction at night? Well, on the Beltway, they
did it at night, and then you got mad at them.
I didn't get mad. I cut through McLean. Shout out to Balls Hill Road. That's really the name of the road, Jeff. It worked out. But I'm glad I looked at my phone, because if I just stayed on the toll road to the Beltway and just had to sit, oh, dog. But I don't even want to joke about the traffic, because I think this morning there was really bad traffic for a really bad accident. I hope everybody's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Connerly Jr., big boy out of Oregon. I think a lot of folks are
from Seattle, Washington.
Dude, you know what I was thinking about? I tweeted this out last night. You remember at almost like the peak of all the bad, when they couldn't do anything right out there,
mm-hmm.
and they accidentally were selling those coffee mugs with Washington State on there? This is the dude that they're perfect for. Like, this dude and Drab are the right dudes for the Commanders logo on the Washington State coffee cup.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a lot to like, and it was brief, but just getting to speak to the young man last night, you could tell he is all about football and just all about wanting to get there and do everything right. Let's start. This is Commanders general manager. Landini. Let's go to kind of what people think about the Connerly pick. Let's start with this was the ESPN, the cast that the ESPN draft hosts reacting to the pick at 29 when Washington selected Connerly.
With the 29th pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select Josh Connerly Jr., tackle, Oregon.
Interesting pick. So they take the tackle after signing or trading for the tackle. Josh Connerly has been on the radar a long time. He won the Anthony Munoz Award as the best lineman in the country in high school. Played in all 13 games as a freshman at Oregon. Started all 14 as a sophomore. And then Mel made first team All-America last year as the Ducks went undefeated through the regular season.
Steadily improving player, Greeny, a kid who was outstanding throughout the course of the year. We talked about what he was able to do in that game as actual partner. He wasn't up against Carter all that often, but he did able, when he had the one-on-ones, to show what he could do. The Mike Green was one play at the Senior Bowl, so yeah, throw that out. And he has the athletic ability to be a guard or a left tackle, a developing standout at that left tackle spot. I was impressed. Run blocking, he could have showed the ability to drive defender off the ball, torque, and then seal, blocking space, the ability to pull and get to the second level, I thought was excellent for Josh Conley. We saw pass protection as well, throwing an event against Abdul Carter, didn't allow a sack there. The athletic ability, consistently take away the edge, then mirror that defensive end, use that punch more to keep defenders from getting into his pad. He can lose out a little of the power. We saw that during the course of the season. But his hand placement, that could be improved. So an offensive line coach is getting an unfinished, needs a little more polish, refinement. But the talent level, the skill set of Josh Connerly, you give him one more year at Oregon, he's probably a top five, top 10 pick.
See, I like that a lot. I know Bobby Johnson a little bit, and I saw him walk into his car last night. Looked like he was quite excited. The tools this kid has and the work ethic he has, I would bet on him.
What I
in a big way.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then I just think when I'm looking at this coaching staff and the people that are making the decisions, we watch this sport and you can see Jeff Landfield, Brian, you and I, we become kids again when we checking out the sport. And a lot of people get involved with sport and they get too damn serious. Last night you saw the youthfulness come out of a lot of people. And it just lets you know how excited they're about this thing. You know? I'm ready to see him go. You know, he said that, oh yeah, they get an unfinished product. Hell, ain't nobody finished when they come out of college, dude. I think sometimes they talk so damn long they just say stuff and they forget what the hell they're saying.
I mean, dude, last night the Cam Ward comps were Mahomes. The Ashton Jeanty comps were Emmitt Smith. Like, sometimes they're just talking.
Well, what do you say?
Dude, you and I know what it's like to fill airtime. Sometimes you just got to fill airtime.
The thing about Emmitt, what they were saying is that he has the low center of gravity. Emmitt's balance.
Yeah.
They pointed out Emmitt don't have his top end speed by no stretch. Emmitt was a 4.6 something. But Emmitt had an offensive line that, you know what, he got hit 5-6 yards down the field. Ashton Jeanty has the balance of an Emmitt, but he got that breakaway like Saquon. So I would think the best comp is Saquon, because Saquon has that same balance. Now, they got to get an offensive line over there for the Raiders.
Sure.
But if he can do the things he's capable of doing, Geno might see a lot of wide open people.
If anybody happens to be in the media room in Ashburn and can confirm that I left my computer and phone charger there, I'd greatly appreciate it. I sure as hell don't have it here.
You need some charge, dog.
I'm cool for a moment, but certainly before the show's over. I think, yeah, I'm with you. I did want to play. Let's play the straight up the Westwood One draft profile, because those are really cool. I hadn't heard those until I was listening to Grant and Danny yesterday, sitting in the parking lot in Ashburn, and they were playing these, and I appreciated them. This is the Westwood One draft profile on Josh Connerly.
Josh Connerly Jr., tackle, Oregon. The 6'4", 315-pound tackle developed into the anchor of the Ducks' offensive front, helping propel them to an undefeated season and a Big Ten championship. He's an elite pass protector with great range and natural body control. He has the tools of a day one starter and is far more polished than tackles typically are at his age. He combines high upside with technical refinement and continued upward trajectory. Simply put, Josh Connerly Jr. is a blue chip offensive line talent.
Is there an argument with that?
Nope. You know what hit me last night?
You're getting him a year early. If he stayed another year, he's probably a top five pick.
Yeah, right, you're getting him a year early, but you know, hey, you got him early. He could probably be a top five pick next year, but guess what? He's a guy 1 year into his career next year, which means he's better for you already on your team. But I kept hearing people say, see, this draft is not like it normally is. You're going to get a bunch of starters out this draft. What is wrong with – is anything wrong with that?
Yeah, too.
I mean, listen, man, sometimes – I'm like, people try to make great moments sound negative. If I get a bunch of starters out of this draft, that's a plus, is it not?
Right.
God.
That's what you want.
That's what the hell you want. So if all these people jumbled up are the same people, if I could get down to the fourth round and I get me a starter from that, that's a plus, people.
Right. God. Right. Okay. I like McShay. What? I don't know where you were last night. We had NFL Network on for the draft. Did you have NFL or ESPN on?
We had all kind of TVs on, bro. And after eating the steak and lobster, I was battling the eyelids getting heavy.
We had Paisanos, which was great. Shout out to Paisanos. Love you, Fuad. Yo, they had the Paisanos boneless buffalo wing nugget joints. Those were hitting. Regardless, we went with NFL Network in the media room. Mel Kiper's obviously a legend. He's created a cottage industry with this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of over Mel Kiper. I thought when McShay was on ESPN, he did a good job of kind of counterbalancing Kiper. Now I don't know that there is a counterbalance. I'd rather listen to Daniel Jeremiah. This is Todd McShay on the Connerly pick. Numero seis, Landini.
Oregon left tackle Josh Connerly Jr. is my guy. Josh Connerly is going to be one of the top three offensive tackles taken in this year's
Wow.
class. He's got the best feet of any offensive tackle in this class. I love this guy. I love him. Dwayne Brown, remember him? 6'4", 220. My goodness, can this guy move silky smooth, change of direction? It's the same thing with Connerly. And last year, it was his first year as a full-time starter. He's still getting bigger and stronger. Still needs a little more sand in the trunk, you know? But I'm seeing more development with his hands, his placement. You just watch him mirror and, like, pass guys off. Oh, it's everything you look for. I have not heard a single thing about Connerly Jr. as a first-round draft pick. I have not read it on social media. I have not read an article. I have not heard a single person. But just mark it down today. This guy could be the fastest rising player as we get close to the NFL draft.
McShay talking about Connerly sounded like that noise White Bryant made that day. I think Bryant played it at a really high level for a really long time. I've talked to enough O-line coaches over the years. They care way more about their feet than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have those quick feet, the ability to pass off players, you know where that helps you? Stunts. Like when there's movement on the defensive line.
Well, you watch him on a lot of his highlights showed that where guy would go inside, he just passes him off, and it looks like it was effortless. A lot of guys look like they have to hurry him, struggle back. Nah, he just slid him off, stepped back, he was waiting on him. So, you know, I kept looking at the way he was moving, how I would see Jim Lachey move. You know, that dude was as smooth as I've ever
hearing
seen.
Jim Lachey's name is pretty damn dude, high bro. Praise. All right, you're going to hear from Adam Peters talking about his second first-round pick ever next.
Who plays very under control. You don't see him get out over his skis. He's patient with his hands. He can sit back in the rocking chair. He's real strong and sturdy. He faced a lot of good rushers on the schedule this year, including a battle with Abdul Carter. You see the athleticism when he gets out there in space in the run game. Another example here of him just staying attached, which you'd love to see.
Shout out to everybody watching on the stream. Appreciate you. Last comment I see is from Gray V. Says, I trust AP and company either way. Shout out to Gray V. Adam Peters last night said that specifically how Connerly played against Abdul Carter was one of the real positives in his evaluation. Now, you don't want to draw too much from any one matchup, but Carter looks like a beast.
You know, we've seen him a lot.
Yeah, I think the Giants had a good draft. You can argue if you like Shador better than Dart, but that D-line now with Carter, Burns, Lawrence, they're going to keep Thibodeau. That's a lot of guys that can get after a passer. I think Giants fans that want to play the Ole Miss game, like, oh, the last Ole Miss quarterback we drafted was good, I think that's a little silly. But they found their guy and went and got him. To me, it reeks of self-preservation decision-making, but
big time.
What do I know? I did like this a lot because a lot of fans, I think, of the Burgundy and Gold are like, yo, what about the edge? Who the hell is going to rush the passer? Adam Peters, forgive me, I don't know who asked this. I just don't remember. It was late and there was a lot going on. Adam Peters got asked last night if he feels pressure to take defensive players going forward in the draft.
I think it's just looking at our board and picking the highest player on our board. So I don't think there's any pressure to pick a defensive guy, except I'd feel bad for Joe Witt a little bit, but he was extremely supportive of this pick too. He's a great team guy, all jokes aside. But no, there's no real pressure to do that, to force a pick on the defensive side of the ball. It's just trying to pick the best commander for us.
I think it's pretty clear that's what he's doing, is just they're sticking to their draft board. And it's my understanding that Connerly was pretty – it was a pretty wide margin on where they had him at their draft board mm-hmm. compared to what they were else they were able to get or even trade out of at 29.
Totally.
Of course he's going to say that. Do you believe that, B, that he does not feel like, all right, we got to add pass rush one way or another?
I believe him. I just think that, you know, people that force things get into trouble. And he doesn't seem to be a guy who's going to force it. And my thing is, if you improve your offense and they think they've done some things to improve the defense in the offseason, if they can score another point and a half a game on offense or 2 points on offense, it helps the defense, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're not helping them. If you improve what Jaden and his crew can do, you make it a little easier for the defense to play. So with Jaden in the backfield and they improve the offense, you have to believe that it's going to help the defense out.
I think it's obviously what they expect. I've gotten a bunch of these tweets like, oh, man, they're just going to turn into the they're going to turn into the Bengals from last year. I don't think that's the case. It's so premature to try to decide what they are right now, is all I'm saying. And I think I just went through this from Daniel Jeremiah, kind of put out his remaining best available. Like, it's the second round, dude. There's still a ton of talent available. Washington doesn't pick till 61. I don't know if they're going to try to trade out. I don't know what they're going to do. But they're increasingly, I think, the top 30 visits matter. Connerly's a guy that visited here. Mm-hmm. And if you look at guys remaining, there's a bunch of dudes that are on these best available lists that also had top 30 visits with Washington. Mm. I would think, I wouldn't say definitively, but like the other tackles that had top 30 visits, I would guess that probably gets put a little pushed down the board. But I mean, depending what you're looking for, the kid Ezeraku's still there. The edge rusher from Boston College that so many people were excited about. The running back Caleb Johnson from Iowa is still there. As of right now, Travion Henderson's still available. Our guy Marcus Washington, when he was on with us earlier this week, said the UCLA edge rusher, Oladejo, mm-hmm. just as a guy that really made sense to land in Washington, he's still available. He's projected. And who the hell knows what the projections are, right? I'm not saying the projections are always right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's projected to be roughly available around 61, somewhere in the 60s, which I find pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. He's also another young guy. He's only 21 that you feel like maybe you're getting a year ahead. The athleticism score is really high. These things are going to be pretty interesting to watch unfold, man. And I just think, if you're freaked out that they didn't do enough,
they did enough. They had one pick, and they got a guy that should be a 10-year or more player. How can you say that's not enough?
I totally agree with you. I do want to take a look kind of further down the draft board, but let's get one more. Number two from Peters Lamphill, just explaining why Connerly was the pick.
I mean, I think, yeah, it's every move we make, we're trying to, you know, maximize him and really the whole team. So, you know, he was the highest player on our board is really what it ended up being. It wasn't really so much we needed to get an O-lineman or anything like that, but he was clearly the highest player on our board. So if it was a defensive player that was the highest player on our board, we would have done that.
It wasn't about offense or defense. It was about just getting the best player they thought they could. Yeah. I think they have built an organization where the work that they said it. Like, I'm not necessarily providing analysis. These dudes have said it. The work we do in free agency allowed us to not feel like we have to need any one position, and we can just take what we think is best. Totally. What they did. Now, when we come back, Nick Baumgartner covers the NFL draft for The Athletic. I want to talk to Nick about what he thought of last night, what he thinks of Connerly, and what he thinks Washington's going to do tonight. Nobody go anywhere.